In the East, there was always a very close cooperation between the religious authorities and the political authorities. Emperors like Leo I and Justinian considered themselves to be as much the head of the church as of the state. Indeed, both of them considered themselves to be, and were considered by others, as right good theologians. The New Rome in Constantinople, the Byzantine kingdom, held the infidels, the Muslims, at bay, protecting their diminished kingdom in Constantinople in the name of Christ until 1516. So until early in the 16th century, that imperial realm continued in direct continuity with Constantine and with that very close connection between political and religious rule. An indication of this is found even in the early 20th century with the close cooperation between Tsarist Russia, notice Tsar is a form of Caesar, and Russian Orthodoxy. Moscow claimed to be the third Rome, the successor of Constantinople as the center of Christianity. And so the Tsar, the Russian ruler, was the new Caesar, and the Patriarch of Moscow was the equivalent of the Patriarch of Constantinople. And there was the development of this notion of Holy Russia, which is so marked in the fiction of Dostoevsky and of Tolstoy and the music of Mussorgsky, and eventually ended in the tragic alliance between the Tsarina Alexandra and the Russian Orthodox monk Rasputin immediately before the Russian Revolution in 1917. Now, in the West, the ascendancy of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, made for a sharper distinction between political and religious authority. This was particularly the case because the Pope claimed to have been deeded political authority over the West by the Emperor Constantine. This is the famous Donation of Constantine. It was an actual legal document which purportedly Constantine had used to hand over political rule of the West to the Bishop of Rome, so that the popes claim to actually be in charge of everything in the West. And so Christendom, which is the distinctive name given to that cultural, political, religious amalgam, which was the civilization of the West during all of this period, involved the authority of both popes and kings in an uneasy alliance. Popes wanted to crown kings, but often kings would try to assert their own authority. The conflict we talked about in the last presentation between Henry VIII and the papacy would be one of the final examples of that, so that Henry VIII finally established the church in England so that he could have the same unity between church and politics in his own realm. But both popes and kings thought of themselves as servants of God. Indeed, there was a popular slogan that they represented the two swords that Peter spoke of in the gospel when Jesus was arrested. Peter, as reported in the gospel, said, "Master, we have two swords," you know, as though they were going to resist Jesus' arresters, and Jesus responds, "It is enough, put them away." Well, these two swords were claimed to be the Pope and the Emperor, and both of them wielded political and military power, and they exercised it over a very real kingdom, which was Western Europe. Now, two examples of some of the consequences of what was called a Holy Roman Empire, but might be regarded as an unholy alliance. The four Crusades that were undertaken in the 11th century by European Christians to retake the Holy Land, the land of Palestine, from Muslims who were regarded as infidels, unbelievers, and the figure of Muhammad was described almost as a demonic figure, Mahout, and the Muslims were regarded by these European Christians as subhuman, even though they represented at that time the highest cultural form achieved by anybody in the West, was an example of a kind of papal and imperial cooperation in the West, church-state collaboration.